Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Joniak.
And it keeps getting better for the Bears defense.
The voice of your Chicago Bears.
Third down, a goal to nine. Kizer back to throw. Pumps. In trouble. Wrapped up.
Oh, he took the ball.
Took the ball away. It is Khalil Mack with the sack and the strip. And welcome to Chicago, big boy.
Twitter.com/Jeff Joniak.
Three-man rush coming clean. Roy Robinson is. And it is intercepted by Mack. Mack running left in the 20 to the 15. 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Bears.
Jeff Joniak with Mully and Haw.
You have got to be kidding me. Fade to black.
Jeff Joniak, you are ridiculous.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jeff Joniak is the voice of the Chicago Bears. And boy, Jeff, what an opening game. What an opening half for Khalil Mack. And then what a bizarre finish for Aaron Rodgers, depending on your perspective, I suppose. Good morning, Jeff.
Yeah.
Morning,
Jeff. Good morning, boys. Yeah, that was something. I will say the first half, standing back and looking at it, was a great game. No matter who you were rooting for, it was a great game to watch. It was a lot of drama, great excitement, some great plays by great players. First half, Tom and I are high-fiving, going bananas, and that, fun. The fun's back in the game. We're enjoying the heck out of it. Khalil Mack, welcome to town, big guy. What a terrific performance. And, then just a nail nibbler the rest of the way once Aaron jogged out there at the second half. But lessons learned. It's a team that's got a long way to learn how to win yet. I actually went back last night and calculated the overall record of the 53-man roster in their respective playing careers. Obviously, that's not all they're doing individually, but this is a team of players that has only won 38% of their NFL games. And five players on the roster have a winning record. The guy who's won the most games in an NFL uniform on that roster is Bradley Sewell with 53. So that does give you a little snippet to understand, it does take a – it's a process.
So how'd you spend your Thursday night?
I know that's kind of startling. It startled me a little bit. But this is the way it is.
That is startling. There's that a team that doesn't know how to win. That confirms a team that doesn't know how to win. This segment with Jeff Joniak brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app now and bet for free. Jeff, that's great research, and I think it underscores just how young and developing this team is. It starts with Mitch Trubisky. Yesterday you were there, 14 minutes with the media. Part of me was like, this is great. This is transparent. This is a quarterback that gets it and understands what's expected of him and enjoys the role that he plays. The other part of me was like, okay, now I get it. He's thinking way too much. And once he stops thinking way too much and starts reacting more, you're going to see a guy who doesn't miss those throws and who doesn't have to explain himself.
Yeah, you could look at it that way, and I think it's not a shocker that there's still a lot of thinking going on for a number of players, obviously. But at the same time, maybe it's just a retrospective view. Like, when you sit there and watch yourself play and you start taking notes on your performance, there is a self-evaluation, a look-in-the-mirror moment for every single player. Obviously, at that position, it has to be. But like you started saying, Big Dave, I love what he had to say yesterday. The transparency of both Coach Nagy and Mitch Trubisky is really something. He sat there and thought about it like a mature adult and a mature player and said, hey, this is what I'm going to do better the next time, and this is what I must do in the next game.
Yeah, Jeff, I don't argue any of that. I just want to see him win, and then they don't have to kind of
make explanations, right? I mean, I'm just being honest. It's it's great that the coach came out and said, "Oh, I probably should have run the ball and all that," but then just do it and let's see what happens. I mean, they got obviously a really good defense that will get even better as Mac becomes conditioned, as Roquan gets on the field, and they got a running game, right? And there's a lot to be said for that. I get it. I understand, you know, the optimism and the pessimism. It was really strange, the bizarre kind of reaction to that game.
Well, what's bizarre about it?
Well, I just think people don't know whether to be happy or sad.
When you lose, you're sad. When you win, you're happy. And, you know, I look at it this way. You never know what to expect any week one anymore. I don't. I didn't even expect last night to happen the way it did in the Cincinnati-Baltimore game in week two. But I just feel that you got to take a deep breath after week one, recalibrate a little bit, because that's the game that everybody's watching, obviously, and just, that happened to be on national TV on top of it. You got another one on Monday night. It's just that anything can happen kind of week, and that's how I'm evaluating it right now. I was pleased with big segments of that game. Obviously, displeased with others.
Here's what I wonder, Jeff, and you're right. After week one, you take a deep breath, you evaluate, you start to look at teams a little bit closer, and you get an idea of what you have and who you're playing. And I think that I wonder this. The element of surprise was so important in that game against the Packers. The first two series were, as you say, you guys were high-fiving. Everybody's like, wow, did you see that? What happens now? What happens next? Does week two start the process of when teams start to catch up? And do the Bears have more to offer offensively than the element of surprise?
I still believe there's a lot left on the table in terms of the element of surprise. I can hardly imagine the creativity that Matt Nagy is known for and that system is known for and the types of weapons that they plan on using. I think there'll be a lot more to be unveiled. I still think the element of surprise is still in their favor. There's no way they threw it all out there. It's situational football. So you're planning for situations against your opponent, trying to create the greatest mismatch you can possibly win. And with that, in this particular offense and the way they go about it, it's a week-to-week type of deal. It's not just you're going to roll out the same plays. They're not that type of offense from what I understand anyway. So now you just got to play football and grow. You know, that's the thing. This team has to grow every single day. Mitch Trubisky has to grow every single day. This whole season is going to be about the continuing growth of this young offense and the maturity of this potentially great defense.
Yeah, I think the defense is in good hands. I think that they're going to get better for the reasons we mentioned. You know, Mac just looked unbelievable, and you add an element like that to a good unit, and Roquan flashed. I mean, that kid can move, and I think
he's
explosive,
there's a lot.
He's very explosive player. A lot to feel good about. It's also about quarterback development, which, of course,
right. We
haven't seen enough of, and we don't understand in this town. So people are kind of uncertain about what they want. They're not the finished product. We were talking about it earlier, Jeff. If you go 0-2 to open a season since whatever it is, 2006, 2008. You're in trouble. You got about a 10.8% chance of making the playoffs. But I think it's different with this team because I think that they can be a significantly better team on both sides of the ball as the season goes on. So I'm kind of fascinated to watch this game in particular. You got to win at home in the NFL. It's harder to win on the road. I mean, there's a lot of good things to hang your hat on, and I really hope that they show that on Monday night.
Ditto. And, you know, to Nagy's credit, and I even brought it up in the coach's show the last couple of weeks, he has prepped everybody that this is not a finished product. He hasn't said it in those words, but the whole thing is going to be a process. And no one wants to hear that, and I don't blame you if you don't want to hear it because you've been waiting 9 out of the last 10 years, no playoffs. And it is, but, you know, this was not going to be an instant success. Even if they would have won that game the way they played, you know, there are going to be some hurdles here as the season goes on and whatnot, as teams get a better idea of what the Bears are going to be, particularly offensively. So I just think it's a deep breath kind of moment, and just let's see how it all works out and grows. And I really believe that that's the approach you got to take. As far as Monday night is concerned, yeah, the Seattle team is very fast. They play physical. It's totally different, obviously, on defensively. There are elements of what they are, obviously, on the back end. Earl Thomas, a veteran safety, so he can yank the chain of a quarterback. So that's going to be a challenge for Mitch. And same thing at the middle linebacker position with Bobby Wagner. Guy is outstanding, speed, still a great player. Frank Clark coming off the defensive end position is probably their best pass rusher. And other than that, it's a lot of newbies on that defense. They've totally revamped that. Offensively, don't fall asleep on them. A, because of Russell Wilson and his ability to create and make plays after he's being chased around back there for a period of time. But Tyler Lockett's speedy. Brandon Marshall can still make plays. I know he's in his final spasms of his career a little bit, but it's still a dangerous player out there.
We saw some spasms from him not that long ago.
Will Dissly is a tight end who rumbled, is the best way to describe this big guy. He rumbled through the defense last week and made some big plays. So they want to run. They want to go back to the old Seattle Seahawks of 13-14 and be a rugged running team too to set up all their play action and all their deep routes. So it'll be a fun game, I believe. It'll be a fun game at Soldier Field, and they got to start developing a home field advantage. Must do that. That's been missing.
Yeah, they'll have the fans on their side. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, boys.
Have a good weekend. See you Monday night.
Take it easy.
That
Bye.
Is Jeff Joniak, radio voice
to Mac.
Of the Bears. He gave us a fade to Mac last week. That's awesome.
He didn't have a chance to do that.
Well, we are going to we're going to fade to Zach. How's that sound?
We'll bring in Mac to Zach.
Played, huh?
We'll bring in Zach Zabin, and we'll talk about what happened yesterday in Washington. And
he was there. He did play by play, and then he did a little color analysis. He was with Pat Hughes, and he did it well.
His pinky was in a weird angle.
Mully and Haw on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're live on the radio.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We like to call him the ginger hair genius, but in honor of the Triple G Canelo Alvarez fight, we will call him Canelo Zaidman today.
It's descriptive, right?
Spanish for cinnamon. Of course, Saul Alvarez is a ginger. So, good morning, Zach. How are you?
Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
It's a joy to talk to you, and there's been a lot of concern over the course of this program. The fan base seems pretty upset with Joe Maddon about some of the decisions made yesterday, particularly the idea that that you put C.J. Edwards into the game at any point, particularly, you know, kind of going after Mike Montgomery too early. And then, of course, there is the issue of Pedro Strop and him pulling a hammy run into first base. I think most of what Joe does, Zach, is based on some sort of arithmetic, some sabermetric plan. I don't know. He manages by feel. He sees something we don't see. It was just a rough outcome because while they won the game and it took the 10th inning, it was also just sad to see Pedro Strop go down.
Yeah, but I think he's been so good filling in for the injured Brandon Morrow as the closer. That one, you kind of felt it throughout the ballpark. There were several moves that might have made you scratch your head. I do think when you guys take all those calls for all the moves that work over the course of the season, do you guys take them, all the callers that come in and say, hey, you know, remember in the seventh inning of that win where they, you know, Joe did this? Rarely do we take those calls, and I think you remember the moves that don't work because they've been so infrequent over Joe's career here with the Cubs, and that's just the nature of the beast. But you know, there was the pinch hitting for Caratini with Contreras in the middle of that game. Mm-hmm. Especially with the way Caratini's been hitting of late. He's been through this stretch now where I think he's got six hits
in his last, he's hitting something like 500 over his last five games with seven RBIs. And then it just shows you the importance of this game following the series against the Brewers. And I think that's what he was trying to do. And if you go over the last few years, when Madden has great confidence in a reliever, and you saw this with Aroldis Chapman in 2016, you saw it last year with Wade Davis, he's not afraid to use that reliever for three innings, kind of the way the Indians used to use Andrew Miller before he got hurt, the way the Brewers are using Josh Hader. And I think that was going to be the case yesterday. And unfortunately, it didn't work out, and Strope ends up getting injured. But that's been the story of 2018, is this team's ability to overcome injuries to key players throughout the season. And unfortunately for them, they're going to have to do it again.
Zach, how would you describe the range of mixed emotions from getting on the plane with Anthony Rizzo in uniform, kind of trying to lighten the mood and set a tone, to yesterday coming back, when I think that obviously the Cubs on that business trip completed their business successfully. They got the victory, but it might have felt like a loss because of what happened to Strope.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It never feels like a loss when you add a half game to a very tight lead. But Pedro Strope is as popular of a player inside the Cubs clubhouse as there is, just because of his personality, because he's good at what he does. I think he saved 11 of 13 games for the Cubs since Brandon Morrow went down with a biceps injury in July. So, you know, that one's it's a tough one. There's no question about it. And I think in part because how he got hurt. You know, this wasn't a guy who got hurt on the mound. This was one of those weird situations that unfortunately occurs. It's one of those things that you didn't expect it to happen. And then boom, something like that happens in such a weird way. So it's deflating. But again, I go back to the DNA of this team, and they've had to overcome a whole bunch of injuries to key players over the course of the season. And for them, they've done it. They've been able to do it to this point and build this lead, still have the best record in the National League. And I just think it's something that they're going to have to do again. You know, and this is a team that's had Rizzo on the DL, Bryant on the DL twice, Yu Darvish out for the year. Ben Zobrist has been on the DL. So they're used to having their best players not there for significant periods of time. Hopefully the MRI shows that isn't as serious as it looked, but still, you know you're going to have to go about this. You know you're going to have to go about this without Strope for quite a while. And the thing that you look at, I think, going forward is what kind of roles change now in the bullpen. You know, who gets that role at least initially? Is it someone like Steve Cishek or Jesse Chavez? And remember, they use these guys yesterday again. So at least tonight, when you look at this game against the Reds that they play, you're kind of limited in who you can go to out of the pen based on the usage of the guys this week, going back to that Milwaukee series and what happened yesterday.
Who would you use, Zach? Who do you believe should be the closer now? Because we've gone over, you know, just about every name that you've mentioned. We mentioned Justin Wilson, which is crazy when you think about last year. But what do you think?
I don't know if he's available tonight based on the usage, but I would go with Jesse Chavez as my closer until either Brandon Morrow comes back and shows you that he can pitch, or until Strope comes back. And the reason for that is I want guys that can throw first pitch strikes coming out of the pen. Chavez has done that routinely. So he was acquired via trade from Texas, and it would still give you the flexibility to use Cishek the way Madden uses him in a whole variety of areas.
You think Javi Baez is cured? He got out of his slump with a home run, and the bunt was just classic Javi being Javi, and I think he put himself back at the top of that MVP conversation because, and I heard you and Pat talking about it yesterday. I know Ron Coomer makes this point consistently. Started when he goes the other way, he's a more dangerous hitter.
And he did yesterday. The home run went the other way, which I thought was very encouraging. That bloop double that he got initially went the other way down the line. Even the bunt went the other way. And that was because that was actually a really smart move. You have a guy who was trying to get Baez out, you know, because he's a little bit of a free swinger, trying to get him out with a high fastball, and Baez was smart enough to understand the first baseman was holding on the runner at first, and they were playing at double plate depth up the middle. So there was this huge hole kind of in that right side of the infield area, and he took advantage of it with the bunt. One of those things that I'm sure he did on his own, and when you have those kinds of instincts, that's where Avi Baez just does things that make your jaw drop in a good way, and that's what happened yesterday. But I do agree with you. When he does go the other way, good things happen, and I think that if there is, outside of picking up a victory in a half game over the Brewers, I think a few things that stand out from that game is the fact that sometimes it only takes one swing, and maybe it was that loop double initially, but Baez can get it going very quickly. And the other good sign is Chris Bryant. Yeah. Now, over the last two games, he's been looking to find his way since coming back from the DL the second time. And he had two hits in that finale against Milwaukee, comes up with three hits. He was a spark plug yesterday. And if he can get it going, the Cubs do have a couple of guys in that lineup by themselves. If they get hot, they can carry a team. One is Rizzo, and we saw him do it for a long time earlier in the year when he was placed in the leadoff spot. The other is Chris Bryant, and they got to get Daniel Murphy going now too. He's a guy who's been slumping a little bit. Hit .316 with four home runs in his first 13 games as a Cub. I think he's got maybe three hits since then. So once he gets going, and if you get a hot Bryant and Baez hot together, that's what you're going to need, I think, down the stretch here. If you get this offense going, you can mitigate some of the damage that they've had in terms of bullpen usage and injuries.
Thanks, Zach. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, here's my nugget, by the way.
Please.
I know you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give it to you.
Need a nugget.
Cole Hamels gets the start today against the Reds, 11-1 against Cincinnati in his career, and that includes the complete game that he had earlier this season against the Reds.
Wow, that's impressive. Tight. But do you have anything on the Seahawks? See, gotcha.
Not my beat.
Have a good weekend.
See you, pal. That's our guy, Zach Zaidman.
Yeah, his nugget last week was the last few Bears head coaches. First game against the Packers, they won, right?
Yep.
Oh, damn.
Except for this one.
Did you take that to the book?
I took the points, and it ended up hitting, so
there you go.
I didn't take the Bears to win. No. I thought they had no shot at winning.
We're gonna find out who you take this week after just a few minutes here.
All righty.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment of the show brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use that Spot Hero anytime you park. If you're a first-time user, you enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter.
Got Mully and Haw on the Score, and it's just past 8:40, which means it's time to take a look at a few of the matchups this weekend, strictly for fun. Remember, entertainment purposes only, guys. And to recap, last week, David Haw, Joe Ostrowski, and myself went 3-2. Bringing up the rear, Mike Mulligan and Dustin Rhodes went 2-3. So we'll start off with the Bears. They are hosting the Seattle Seahawks at Soldier Field Monday night, and the Chicago Football Bears a 3.5-point favorite. Mully, let's start with you.
I hate the hook, but I'll take the Bears.
I think the Bears are going to play better at home. I don't have any confidence in the Seahawks offensive line. I am also taking the Bears.
The most common point differential in the NFL is 3 points, and it's not even close. But Trubisky plays better at home. I was all over it at the 3.
Yeah, me too.
I wouldn't, like in the Super Contest, I have to pick 5 games. I would not make this a top 5 pick, but I'll take the Bears -3.5.
Oh, boy, we're all going in the same direction, which usually spells disaster. But
it worked last week.
It's
one of my 2 correct picks.
Well, yes, you are in last place, tied with Dustin. I'm going to keep bringing that up until it's not true.
And you had that avalanche of an extra win because you didn't try to annoy David by taking Ball State.
I'm going to take the Bears as well. I have no faith in this Seattle team this year. I think they're going to be quite bad in what is going to be an interesting division there out west. The Rams might run the table within that division this year. I will take the Bears. Give me the 3.5. I don't need the 3.5, but I'll take the 3.5.
No, I don't need it, but we'll take it. Okay, so here's let's keep going here with the Bears. So 7-1 straight up, 8-0 against the spread after losing games to Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. Okay, and so we've got Mully, Bears, Haw, Bears, Joe O, Bears, Kevin, Bears. The trend, 8-0 against the spread after losing to Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. Give me the 3.5, and the hook is the reason. Give me the 3.5. The Bears win the game, but real tight. Give me the 3.5 with the Seagulls.
Nice.
How about that ride in? I guess that's why they call it Sin City.
Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field will be the Packers hosting the Minnesota Vikings in a divisional showdown. The Packers are a 1-point favorite. Interesting.
Vikings are the most complete team in the NFL right now, I think. Whether or not Aaron Rodgers plays or not, I think if he doesn't play, it's going to be a rout. And if he does play, I think they still win. I think I will take the Vikings.
Can I just say it this way? I will also take the Vikings.
If Rodgers doesn't play, this point spread is going to be 7. But we're going with the 1, correct?
So you got to take it.
That's the only thing I could find out there. It's off in most places because of the quarterback situation. But I found somewhere that said 1, so we're going with 1.
You have to take it. If we knew Aaron Rodgers was in, I would probably take the Vikings anyways, because I think they're going to win this game. But a lot of times you come off a miracle win. I'm going to fade that team that is riding high all week. So give me the Vikes.
Molly, hit it one more time for me, please.
Yes. Wow.
Let's do it again.
Oh, boy.
David, I agree with you. I mean, Minnesota top to bottom might be the most well-rounded team. It's hard to find a weakness there as long as they all stay healthy and Kirk Cousins can, you know, stay true to what he normally does. Take care of the football. Don't turn it over. I'm going to have to go with Minnesota here as well.
They looked pretty good, but they kind of did what the Bears did that last game. They didn't finish, and that's one place and one team, one guy you can't afford to do that against. I expect Aaron Rodgers to drop his drawers, take a shot of Toradol in the kneecap or in the side of the knee or wherever the needle needs to be put, and he'll be in that game. There's no doubt in my mind that he's in that game. This is really tough, and this pick is strictly based on I could either take a nice lead, catch up, or fall farther behind. So I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to lay the point with Aaron Rodgers.
Look at you.
Give me the Packers.
Whoa, I am on fire.
What?
Shuffling.
Moving to the college game, tomorrow evening at Jerry's World outside of Dallas, Texas, will be number 4, Ohio State, and number 15, TCU, where the Buckeyes are a 13.5-point favorite. Where are we going?
My father went to an Ohio State-Notre Dame game when we were kids and brought home a Ohio State banner for some reason, because I think the Notre Dame ones were sold out. And those are the same colors as Tommy Moore football, by the way. So I've been an Ohio State fan ever since that day, and it's paid off. I'm going with the Buckeyes.
Well, I'm not waving the pom-poms for Urban Meyer, but like you are, but I will also look at this with my head and not my heart and take the Buckeyes.
You would think there would be more TCU fans in the state of Texas, but I think there's going to be more Buckeye fans. Go and check out Jerry's World. I was all excited when I saw this game, and then I saw the line. I was like, oh, really? 13.5? That's what they're expecting? Gary Patterson is one of the best coaches in football, and TCU is 9-1-1 against the spread as a double-digit dog in non-conference play. 9-1-1. Give me the Horned Frogs getting 13.5.
Nice. Give me the Frogs as well. They've been one of the most, I don't want to say underrated, but maybe one of the most underappreciated, under-the-radar programs over the last several years. And while the crowd split, you know, ostensibly you would think that it would be a horny crowd there rooting for the Horned Frogs, I think it will be a little bit more split, Joe, but that's not going to stop me from taking TCU there. That line, that's almost 2 touchdowns. I don't know if Ohio State has it in them. Give me TCU as well.
Ohio State, unfortunately, looks like they are the best team in the Big Ten right now. I could only hope that when my least favorite coach in college football returns to the sidelines, that they regress when he's in charge of the game calling on Saturday afternoons or evenings, depending on when they kick off. And in homage to one of my all-time favorite hosts in sports talk radio, I don't want the points. I don't need the points. I'll take the points. Give me the 13.5 and Joe's odds and stats, and give me the frogs of TCU.
Maybe that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
Tomorrow afternoon, the Auburn Tigers and the LSU Tigers. Number 7, Auburn. Number 12, LSU. Tiger Derby. Auburn, a 10-point favorite.
It's a great SEC matchup. I think you look at LSU and you think, oh, wow, they've been a nice surprise. Beat Miami. They weren't expected to do too much this year. That probably is why the point spread is what it is. But Auburn at home, Gus Malzahn has a very good team who beat Washington. I think that they definitely, I'll take them despite the 10.
Yeah, I'll take Auburn too, and mainly because Joe Fortenbaugh gave him to us, and he went 10-2 last week or something, so I'm going with him.
Yeah, Fortenbaugh was all over it. Echo what he said. People are going to see LSU, wow, number 12 team in the country is getting 10 points? Give me them. No. Miami might be just bad. They might be a bad team. We'll find out as this plays out. But Auburn is a real contender in the SEC. Give me the Auburn Tigers minus 10.
I didn't hit the right button. Give me the Auburn Tigers as well. I have no faith in LSU. I think their quarterback stinks. I think Auburn will be one of the best teams in the country when it's all said and done. Give me Auburn. Give me the 10 points.
Well, I could do this again and create some separation, but I just can't do it. I don't believe in LSU. Their defense is good, but it's at Auburn. War damn Eagle. I will lay the 10, but I'd probably like it better in a 6-point teaser minus 4 instead of 10. But war damn Eagle, give me the Auburn Tiger.
Do you know what I do at the Shangri-La?
To the Bears, once again, and a little prop bet. You're taking the over-under 221.5 passing yards for Mitchell David Trubisky Monday night.
I hate this. I really hate this bet. I preferred the sack total. That one would have been, I'd have more confidence in. I don't like this bet, but I'll take the under. But I don't like it.
I'll take the under, too. I think that he could have a very good day, and the Bears could win in a very convincing fashion. And he could still hit the under, but I think I will definitely stick with under 221.5.
It was interesting to see that linebackers Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, cornerback Trey Flowers did not practice yesterday for Seattle. And I know it's tough to look at last year, different offense, different teammates. The bottom line is that Trubisky in his 13 career NFL starts, he's gone over this number 3 times, so I'm not going to bet on it. Give me the under.
You know, I'm going to take the over. I think that if the Bears want to have this high-flying offense with innovation and spreading the ball around and all of these things that we've been sold on Matt Nagy as an offensive innovator, you're going to need Mitch Trubisky to go over this 221 mark often. And while I do respect the Bears' running game, I think they have one of the better tandems in the league with Howard and Cohen. I think you're going to be able to eat against this Seahawks offense, not anywhere near what it was a few years ago. I'm going to take the over on Mitch Trubisky, over 221.5 passing yards Monday night at Soldier Field.
This segment is brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today at Bet and Bet for free. So Joe's got some interesting stats there. I looked it up as well. Only 3 times has Trubisky gone over 221.5 yards in his career, and only once did he do that at Soldier Field. How about some yards after catch? I know in the 5-on-5 earlier I said I'm sick and tired of listening to Mitch talk, and I'm looking for him to walk, and so I'm hoping that he does it. Even though I took the 3.5, I think it's still going to be a tight game. But give me over 221.5 passing yards for Mitchell Trubisky, who is going to walk the walk after he talked the talk Monday night at Soldier Field.
All right, that is our pick segment. We'll be back with some transition next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.